Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Joe Kuzma, and today I'm back. I'm flying solo. Really wish that we would have been able to get you another show here at the end of last week. As previously noted, myself and Brian have just been insanely crazy busy. So here's the hope, and we're going to get a couple of things out to you this week, if not a trifecta, if we could bang these out. And I'll be mentioning some things we were talking about in the SCU backrooms, not necessarily just all me blabbering here, but for the most part, I am shooting from the hip today. I want to talk about, once again, the Pittsburgh Steelers and what they will do in the first round. But I had some good feedback, some good comments, and it had to relate to the top three running backs in this upcoming NFL draft. So thank you to everyone who sent the text, the messages, and the emails, because you know what? I'm not solely convinced that any of the top three, Travis Etienne, Najee Harris, or Javonte Williams, will be there for the Steelers in the second round at pick 55. My good colleague here, the coach, the professor, Zach Mettler, of course, pointed out that last year's draft had exactly five running backs go up to pick 55, which was actually J.K. Dobbins. J.K. all day, which is what me and Brian were proposing last year, because we felt that James Conner wouldn't be here this season. So five running backs go then, but it hasn't actually been the norm, and first round picks haven't been the norm. So what exactly do you do if you are the Pittsburgh Steelers and you are here picking at pick 24? In an ideal world, you would love to trade. And I don't mean trade up. I don't necessarily want to lose picks. I wouldn't mind gaining picks, but I don't know. I mean, the Steelers here have eight picks overall. And I'm not sure that all eight picks, could they make the roster? Potentially. If they ended up with 9 or 10, they got, you know, they're tight on the salary cap too, so maybe trimming one of these names off of the list wouldn't be so bad. But I don't see them going up from 24. I would more or less see them going up from 55, perhaps. And that all depends on how worried we all are about who's going to draft what, where, and when. And of course, the smoke and the fires have all of these quarterbacks going, maybe four or five in the first round. Obviously, the Jaguars, Jets, and 49ers should all be looking at quarterback, right? There's some speculation the Falcons could too. This really leaves the Cincinnati Bengals with like the best second non-best quarterback outside of the quarterbacks that are available in the draft, available to them at pick five. And can they screw it up? I don't know. Will they take Kyle Pitts? Will they take someone other than Penei Sewell? I don't know. They should go offensive line. There's even talk about them going wide receiver with Ja'Marr Chase. I get getting Joe Burrow some weapons, but you got to get him some protection too, or he's going to end up hurt, and then you don't have him once again for the regular season. So then you start looking. I don't think any of these teams in the top 10 are looking running back. I've seen some mock drafts with the Denver Broncos selecting a running back. They got Melvin Gordon. They just paid him and brought him in last year. Of course, some of the contracts I would have to dig into a little more. There are some teams that have shifted and moved around and made some different moves in the offseason as well. And I can't say, we were making the comment about, did anyone see Dobbins going to the Ravens last year? Maybe a little bit there, because Mark Ingram was already like 30, 31 years old. As you saw, he got put on the back burner, sidelined in favor of Dobbins eventually there. They still had Gus Edwards. They had Justice Hill that they had drafted. But later, you know, like an Anthony McFarland-type pick for the Steelers, or a Benny Snell-type pick for the Steelers. So I'm trying to figure out, like, are there going to be a lot of two-headed monsters? Can some of these teams afford to take a running back, first round or otherwise? I think as you get deeper into the first round, there may be more validity to it. The Dolphins, The Dolphins are going to take whatever is there as far as a playmaker. They're going to try and put some guys around Tua. There was even speculation the Dolphins could take a quarterback. The Lions, they got Jared Goff. Are they going offense or defense? There's no telling what can happen there. The Carolina, and of course, they took DeAndre Swift last year as well. So that's something else to acknowledge. And even going backwards just a little bit here, a lot of the teams I'm mentioning are going to be at the top of the second round, so I'll bring them up again. So let's rifle through a few more as we get down. I think the first team that could scare me here is a running back pick, and I don't see them taking it at 15, would actually be the New England Patriots. I continue to go. The Dolphins are at 18 again because they have a slew of picks from all the trades that they have made. And you get into some teams like the Bears. They could be okay with their, three Cohen, and now I'm going to get them David Montgomery. I'm going to get him and Singletary mixed up because there's been a lot of speculation, too, as to what the Buffalo Bills will do. Singletary and Zach Moss, I don't know. Could they add yet another guy to their stable? Would you do it in the first or second round? This is the part that I really struggle with here, and I've talked about how a lot of the first-round running backs haven't lived up to the first-round pedigree, or a lot of teams are paying them a lot of money. The Colts, they've already got Marlon Mack coming back. They got Jonathan Taylor last year out of Wisconsin. Of course, Derrick Henry's with the Titans. The New York Jets pick here at 23. And the Jets have oodles of needs. In fact, I was looking at the Draft Network has, like, you know, the primary needs for all of the different teams in the draft. And then they have, like, secondary, ancillary, and then don't need. And I'm going to go through these lists. I'm going to go through their list, actually. Not always maybe the most accurate, but I put some stock into some of it. You know what I mean? The Steelers ones definitely seem to be something that fits the bill. They have cornerback, offensive tackle, running back, and interior offensive line. And then they also go on secondary to linebacker, edge, interior defensive line, which I'm not sure they need a whole terrible lot of help with that. And then quarterback, which I vehemently opposed. If they happen to grab somebody, somebody's got to come off the roster. They're not going to keep four quarterbacks. They're not going to be able to trade, in my opinion, Rudolph or Haskins either. These are guys that don't have, like, long contracts. Teams will just wait for them to get released, pick them up off of waivers, depending on the waiver wire or where they are, or their eligibility to just be a street free agent as well. So that all depends, too. But anyways, yeah, this is what I was saying in the past episode was, maybe the Steelers don't go running back in the first round, but can they wait until pick 55? That is the question. There seems to be a consensus that that Etienne, Harris, and Williams are the top three guys. Could you do a Trey Sermon or Carter from North Carolina? Maybe. Maybe Michael Carter is somebody that that might fit into this, but then is that a second or third round pick? This is very tough, you know. You've got just a little bit of speculation that's been coming out with the pro days, and this is the same game and gamble that the Steelers are going to be doing with their board, and depending on who falls where. And I've seen some pretty bad picks here too. Like, would the Steelers take the sixth overall offensive tackle versus taking like the second best running back or even edge? Rusher. I mean, if they fit the bill, I don't know. The Steelers, to me, are a best player available type team when they don't necessarily go best player available. Now, granted, the best player available oftentimes fits some sort of need. TJ Watt, for example. But Jarvis Jones did, you know, that was definitely drafting for need, and they had to double up and go back and get Bud Dupree one or two drafts later in order to kind of correct that mistake. Artie Burns was much in the same category, where then they were signing free agents, formerly Steven Nelson, Joe Hayden, of course. So they don't always get it right, nor does any team. And that's kind of where I'm at, is running back is also a position where I don't know that the first, the fifth-year option on a first-round draft pick is necessarily worth using the running back position to draft a player. You're probably not going to use a fifth-year option there, but there's some teams here. Let's see, who else is off after the Steelers that you have to worry about then between 24 and 55 when they are on the clock again in the second round? So pick 25, of course, is the Jaguars. You got the Browns, Ravens, Saints, Packers, Bills, Chiefs, and, of course, Super Bowl champions, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, rounding out the first round. None of those teams scream running back need for me. You've got Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt in Cleveland. The Ravens have a whole stable of guys. I believe the Saints are going to be fine with Alvin Kamara. The Green Bay Packers, this was another thing that was brought up in the back rooms between both Zachs, actually, Meckler and Celedonia, Flash, as we call him. The coach slash professor, and the Flash, they were tag teaming me like two Zachs off the top rope on my take on this, which is okay. We don't always have to be yes people here and all get along, especially with something so subjective as the draft, right? But the talk was is that A.J. Dillon went to the Green Bay Packers last year when they already have Aaron Jones. Well, I don't think they necessarily assumed that they would have Aaron Jones or be able to keep him. There was talk of a franchise tag. They were able to get a deal done with Jones and retain him on their roster. So now, does it look like a wasted pick? I don't know. You could say the same thing about the Steelers taking Chase Claypool in the second round last year, kind of predicting maybe that Juju Smith-Schuster hits free agency and won't be back on the roster. And lo and behold, he's there too. So I don't know. I don't know how you do that. Now, Jamal Williams was also a free agent as well when we're talking about the Packers. I'm going to try and sneak my coffee in underneath my microphone here. That was pretty smooth, huh? I got like a mug warmer, and I'm going to burn the bottom of my hand touching my mug there. But anyways, like the Packers making that move or like the Ravens making their move for J.K. Dobbins, these were kind of precipitated by last year of contracts for certain players at positions of need. Instead of like the Steelers, they kind of knew James Conner was going to be on his way. Did they probably think running back last year? Yeah. Did it fall where they necessarily wanted it? I think in the second round, remember, no first round pick last year because they had traded it for Minkah Fitzpatrick. So the Chase Claypool pick was because of Juju. It was like the coin flip. Do we get the guy who replaces Juju or do we get the guy that may replace Conner? And they kind of felt maybe they had Benny Snell. They could see what Benny Snell does in his sophomore season. And then they still went out and got Anthony McFarlane. And who's to say McFarlane may not break out as well? You never know. These things are it's unpredictable. That's why it's all rumor and speculation. But anyways, covering that with the Packers, I said the same thing here with the Bills already with Singletary and Moss. The Chiefs, the only team to take a running back in the first round last year. And they've got a handful of guys that are solid there on their roster, including that first round pick entering his second year, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And then the Buccaneers, which kind of surprised me. Okay, so I'm looking through the team draft needs, and I'm going to start from the top. The 49ers, a primary need is not a running back. They have so many guys there. It seems like Kyle Shanahan could just plug anyone in and go. It would kind of surprise me if they were to do something like that. But then again, they pick a 43. So they are in the mix here. And, of course, this is something I got to point out, too. Will there be a first-round running back? There could be. Of course, I'm looking at the Jets. I think the Jets would be the team that would be most scared of the Steelers picking a running back and maybe go and pull the trigger on their guy. And then the Steelers kind of go, well, we weren't going to go that direction anyways. And they do something else, and then all of a sudden you're really stuck because maybe the Jaguars feel that James Robinson, undrafted, but very solid season last year. Maybe with a whole new staff there and Urban Meyer, maybe the Jaguars are thinking something different at the running back position. It's hard to tell sometimes, and I was pulling this up because I wanted to say there was another familiar name and face. Carlos Hyde, that's correct. That was linked with Urban Meyer. That's also on this roster as well with Robinson. And they got a few other names that are mixed in here, but maybe not anybody that's going to compete for snaps. So I think they're already kind of solidified there. Maybe they will look in other areas. Of course, the Draft Network reporting, a whole bunch of needs, and they have running back as one of them for the Jaguars. They have quarterback, offensive tackle, wide receiver, and safety. Hard to tell where they may go there. Wide receiver seems they actually have it listed twice. They have it as an ancillary need as well. Jaguars gutted their team. They kind of need a little bit of everything. So hard to tell what they're going to do in the first and second rounds here of the draft. But let me see. So the Jaguars pick at They pick right after the Steelers at 25, and they pick again at 33. That's one of the teams. And then, again, the Jets have another pick as well at 34. You get to the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons kind of have all sorts of stuff that they may need as well. They're speculating quarterback, whether or not Matt Ryan is going to be on the hot seat here. He's getting up there in age. And, of course, another situation where you have a whole new staff and crew and the front office and everybody else in place. They're talking about tight ends. Everybody supposedly needs an offensive tackle or a left tackle in this draft, too. So that's why I could see the Steelers go left tackle, but it's also a deep draft at the tackle position, so I'm sure they have done their homework. If we get out of the first round and the Steelers, if they happen to pick a running back and they're the only team that picks a running back, am I going to be upset? No, I'm not planting my flag on this necessarily. What I'm trying to condition everyone and prepare is for multiple scenarios here. And I've prepared myself for a scenario where the Steelers could go defense. I prepared myself heavily for the possibility of going offensive line. But if running back is there, I trust the organization enough, Kevin Colbert and company, to get it right, okay? Second rounds and third rounds, I think they could find offensive linemen. So if they go running back and they feel that one of these teams trailing them between 24 and 55, all three of those top guys are already gone. If they happen to pass on running back in both of the first two rounds, those top three guys are gone. And again, like I said, Carter and Sermon, if they're there, there's a few other names too, but those are the two that I tend to gravitate toward. It's just my opinion. I'm just a guy with an opinion, okay? And some of the draft Twitter guys that are out there, they're like fanboys that get so vehemently upset if you oppose an opinion. They fight amongst one another. It's just insane. Everybody thinks that everyone, they grade the drafts and all these other things, and I don't get caught up in the nonsense with that. I'm kind of prepared for the Steelers to go in a couple of different directions here. I mean, obviously, if there's a stud corner, a stud linebacker there, you've got somebody that you feel could be a 10-year starter, you go and you grab that player because then you got them under lock and key with that first-round pick for about 4 or 5 years, five with that fifth-year option. Running backs are kind of like wide receivers, too, to be completely honest, are kind of like a chew-em-up, spit-em-out type of business when it comes to the National Football League. It's not the most longevity, and you get to play and you put so many miles on the odometer, so to speak, especially as a running back. After that rookie contract, you see a lot of teams just move on, but not all of them do. Not all of them do. So I was talking about the Falcons here. So we have the Jaguars, Jets, Falcons, the Dolphins. Again, they want to put some names around Tua. It's totally possible. Draft Network has the Dolphins also with a running back as one of their needs. Wide receiver, edge, tight end. Hey, if they get Pitts, they may come back around and get a wide receiver, or they may go defense. The Steelers may luck out, but they had a pretty glaring hole from what I recall with the running back position last season. I remember Matt Breida being there, but I don't believe he's there anymore. Let me just double check here. I'm going to get you the scoop as I bang around on the keyboard. That's right, Malcolm Brown. Miles Gaskin. Yeah, Miles Gaskin was actually pretty solid. They still list running back as a need. Could they improve on that position? I mean, there's a lot of teams that have that will use a platoon. Steelers aren't one of them. They're looking for a guy that could be a bell cow, and I think that's why they're most closely linked with one of those top three players. Again, I'm trying to figure out, can one of those three, two of those three, slide to the Steelers at pick 55. The Steelers had to move up. I wonder what it would cost them. Even if it was just five picks, could they burn a pick? No, they don't have a fifth round pick this year. They have a sixth and two sevens. Is a seven enough for a team? I don't know. They may have to send something from next year, the 2022 draft, which is possible. And with some of the guys that are moving around, like Bud Dupree and stuff like that, they've got a lot of comp picks coming around. So don't be surprised if you see some sort of move like that. And I would target second, third, and perhaps even fourth round, where the Steelers could slide just a little bit by sending one of those late round picks. Again, eight players that are going to be drafted, they'll all come to camp. Will they all make the 53? I don't know. Are there that many open spots? It depends on the positions, I guess, that they draft as well. So getting back on this, again. Jaguars, Jets, Falcons, Dolphins. The Philadelphia Eagles have Miles Sanders. That's their guy. Again, we were having some speculation with Gio Bernard being released from the Bengals here at pick 38. Would Cincinnati go running back? I'll tell you what, if they go like tight end or wide receiver with their first pick and then go to with a running back with Joe Mixon under contract, Joe Mixon, they put all their eggs in the basket, I think, with Mixon. I think they'd be incredibly foolish. Now, if they go offensive line and then you come back to round two, potentially dangerous there. Potentially dangerous. I would have to see, so I'm not talking out my posterior here, of course, I can never get it to come up when I need it, but going to see what Joe Mixon's contract is here. A little bit of a brain fart for a second, but Joe Mixon, running back, Cincinnati Bengals, is under contract for, yeah, this was just the, he just signed this extension on September 1st of last season. So he's under contract through 2024. When you're investing and you have, his cap number is 8-1 this year, it goes up to 11-4, 12-8, and 13-1, but his dead money over the next two seasons are 11 and 8.2. Unless you're going to cycle two guys, I don't know why you would invest this much money in a running back and then go and draft one. That's just my logic and my common sense here. I don't know why they would do something like that. So the Bengals are here at pick 38. The Panthers are right behind them. They had a little bit of a scare with CMC, Christian McCaffrey, getting injured last year. He's definitely their bell cow. They have invested a ton of money in him as well at pick 39. I don't see it happening. The Denver Broncos at pick 40, Melvin Gordon, they let Philip Lindsay walk. I don't know what the thought process might be here. I'm understanding they got a lot of skill position players. They also have some, they have to shore up some of the defense. Some of these guys that they've lost over the years, I still thought their defense kind of helped them out last season. They're still working on the offensive line as well. Will they continue to move with Drew Locke? That's been speculation as to whether or not they may take a cornerback, cornerback has been there too. I think they signed Kyle Fuller to only 1 year. Ronald Darby was signed as well. So it's hard to say exactly what they might be thinking, but for at least 1 year, do they have to go one of these other positions? They may target something else. Would running back be that position for the Denver Broncos? The Draft Network says no, just quarterback, linebacker, and corner. As I mentioned, wow, right off the top of my head. And you know what? I didn't even really glance at this list all the way through. For some reason, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are on here as a running back need, despite bringing back Leonard Fournette. I have a feeling maybe this list wasn't updated before that. They still have Ronald Jones. They have Keyshawn Vaughn, who was a rookie last year, yeah? So, I mean, but Tampa Bay with the last pick at 32, I don't know. I don't know that that's necessarily, they have a few other needs here. It says edge, wide receiver, and interior defensive line. Wide receiver because they lost AB and his, like, 30 catches. I think that Miller kid could probably make up for that there. And he had that spectacular catch in the postseason too. Let's see where I'm at here. Broncos, Lions. I think, again, Swift, Kerryon Johnson, those guys. Or wait, Kerryon Johnson may not be there either. Oh, man, I'll tell you what. It's been a whirlwind when it comes to trying to keep up with everything. Yeah, Kerryon Johnson's still there too, of course. Entering, let me see, 8, 19, 20, contract season this year. So contract year. But still, DeAndre Swift, we'll see what the Lions end up doing. New York Giants have Saquon Barkley. He's coming off of an injury. Insurance policies, I don't think teams draft another running back as insurance policy. I get it. The Packers did it. The Ravens really didn't. The Ravens were drafting for the future with Ingram. The Packers were drafting Dylan because of Aaron Jones' potential contract situation. The 49ers are still here at 43. Again, running back not a need necessarily there. I think Kyle Shanahan could find somebody off the streets like you or I that could just run in his offense when their team's healthy. The Dallas Cowboys are here. They have Ezekiel Elliott, pick 45. I imagine they'll go, or pick 44, they'll go somewhere else. The Jaguars are again in here. How many picks do they got? They got like four. Let me see. Three. I hate when I can't necessarily get this to work the way I want to. With the top overall pick, they had two in the first round and two in the second round, four picks before the Steelers. again, it could be a good candidate for a team to take a running back. New England Patriots, where are they at necessarily? That's tough to say. We're going to see if they do something at the quarterback position. And I don't know. I don't really know. So they've had Sony Michel and they've had some other guys that are there. They took Sony Michel in the first round a couple of years ago. Are they going to move on from him? I can't necessarily say. Draft Network pegs them at quarterback, linebacker, and still at wide receiver. Running back is there as a secondary need. The Patriots are a team that I don't know. It would be tough to get a pulse on. I think the Chargers are okay maybe in their situation. They paid Austin Eckler. The Raiders, once again, with God, I'm telling you, I'm losing my mind here. The Raiders are set at the running back position, probably more so than anybody, because I'm trying to think. The reason I got the brain fart is they did just sign somebody also during this whole Josh Jacobs. They brought back Jalen Richard. Kenyon Drake, that's who I was trying to think of. Kenyon Drake is there. There's no chance. Theo Riddick is somehow still hanging around in the league here, too, that's on this roster. They only have these four running backs, but all of these guys are guys that could get involved in the Raiders offense. I think the Raiders have some other needs here. The Draft Network has five of them, all his primary needs. They get rid of their whole offensive line, so they need a tackle. They need guards. They do have a center that they're hoping to send. The other guy that ended up going over to the Cardinals that they let go, or however that transpired. But the Cardinals got their center also, so it's another team not looking for that specific interior offensive line position. The Cardinals are here. Let me see. I thought they were also coming up right after the Raiders. See, not just a hat rack up here. So pick 48, Raiders. Pick 49 are the Cardinals. Cardinals have Chase Edmonds. There's been some talk as to whether or not James Conner could be yet another former Steeler that heads out to the desert. I think James Conner is a guy that gets signed after the draft. Maybe even a guy that comes back to Pittsburgh, depending on what the Steelers' draft plans are. Don't forget, the Steelers also signed Kalen Ballage. So that's somebody that you also kind of want to put into this mix as a little bit of an insurance policy. If they don't get what they want here at 55, we're already down. We're getting to pick 50 here. Excuse me, another swig of the coffee. It's tough. I don't have Brian here to help break up and help me catch my breath a little bit. But pick 50, Miami Dolphins, again, with another pick for the Dolphins. Dolphins, Jaguars, and the Jets. These are teams that scare me most, as teams that could take the running backs. And that's three teams, folks. That could be all three guys that are gone. So you're trying to talk some sense into me here. You might. But by the time there's pick 50, the Steelers may have to jump in front of. They would have to get up to like maybe 44 or something. Who would they trade with? San Francisco. They got some teams that don't have too many draft picks. There could even be a team that tries to get up. I don't even know how they would, like the Texans. I don't even know where their draft is. I think their first pick, let me see, they're here at 67, way behind the Steelers here. But you still have the Dolphins at 50. The Washington football team has two solid running backs, Antonio Gibson, and yet another guy whose name escapes me right now that I don't think they'll be looking or in the market. We were talking about the Bears with Montgomery and Cohen, Titans with Derrick Henry, the Colts I had already mentioned, and then you're at the Steelers pick. The Seahawks are behind them, the Rams. The Seahawks, they have a stable of guys that are there as well. We'll see. They took Rashad Penny a few years ago in the first round. That didn't necessarily work out for them as well. The Rams are another team that had shot their shot there, getting Todd Gurley and then giving him a big contract, and now he's not even there. They took Cam Akers last year, who was a favorite of ours in the pre-draft process here. The Ravens already have J.K. Dobbins. So as you start to go back through this, you have a lot of the same teams I had already mentioned that already have running backs on the roster. Texans, man, let me tell you, they gave away the entire farm. I would see if Chucky would be willing to trade maybe with the Raiders, because you know that's a team that's definitely not in any market for a running back, and the Texans don't even have like a pick until 67. What might they, I don't know, is there anything that they could possibly do to move up where the Steelers would move back? I don't think the Steelers move back from 55 to 67. I'm looking at teams that may no longer have a first-round pick whatsoever, and they're definitely one of them. The Seahawks are another team. They don't seem to value their draft picks as much either. And then the Rams are in this whole mix of teams that don't have a pick. Could they be enticed? Could the Steelers slide back into the second round? They would need to get a second round pick for sure. And I think an early second round pick to move back. And the teams that are at the top of this entire draft process here, at the top of the second round, like the Jaguars, the Jets, and the Dolphins, they have a bunch of draft picks, and I just don't see them having any need to maneuver around. They've already done a ton of maneuvering. So you got to find yourself another draft partner, such as maybe Panthers, Broncos, Lions, Giants, somebody that wants to get back up into the first round and get ahead of whatever the Jaguars, Browns, Ravens, Saints, Packers, Bills, Chiefs, or Bucks are going to do. Pretty interesting stuff. This is why nobody can predict. It is just so unpredictable, and I'm almost certain that you get to draft day, you're part of this process, you're part of the Steelers front office staff, you're in the war room, and even you can't predict what might happen next. Your phone's going to ring, and you're not expecting who it may ring from. Vice versa, they may be making some calls that they weren't thinking were going to happen based on some players that end up sliding. So here it is. I'm not backpedaling on my first round draft pick on a running back type deal. I would prefer that's not it. But as we had discussed most recently, at 24, can you afford to wait till 55? That's the gamble. That's the risk. That's the reason why it's the draft. That's the reason all of these crazy trades and everything else ends up happening. We shall see. What about 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks up in Cleveland? We're going to figure that out. Man, I'm sorry for some of the brain farts here. My mind is in a bazillion different directions. We're going to be mocking the mock drafts. I'm going to have my own mock draft that you can mock as well, hopefully soon. I've been playing with it, just not as much as I'm used to, because, again, still setting up the studio here, but I hope you like the new humble surroundings around me. I appreciate, as everyone else does here at Steel City Underground, your support of the platform, of the program here, and we look forward to you joining us next time. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. My name is Joe Kuzma. Just a little quick hitter, short episode, clearing up some thoughts, putting them out here on video, so then you could tell me how I was wrong in just about 2.5 weeks or so. So anyways, my name's Joe, and as always, we encourage our viewers and listeners out there to be safe, be good, and we'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.